Hey everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to successfully, quote unquote, offboard a team member.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
We'll take the example of a sales rep. Somebody emailed me this morning saying, Stelly, I'm parting ways with a salesperson. This salesperson has relationships with customers, with prospects, with other team members. This salesperson has a lot of knowledge. How do I offboard them successfully, making sure that they transfer their knowledge to other people on the team, making sure the relationships within the team are fine, but also how do I kind of offboard them specifically having the relationship they have with customers and prospects in mind and connect them with a new team member? How do I do this well?
Yeah. As you know, this is a great question. It's something that's not really talked about. I helped someone through something similar yesterday. So they had the same kind of question. I think it's with many things. I'd say you want to be human. And part of being human in this case is making sure that you're not being negative about the person in this process.
Mm.
I think that's important. It doesn't matter why the person is leaving.
Yeah.
You don't need to air your dirty laundry to your customers. I think there's a human tendency to either be honest or be afraid of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I would say that those are the two emotions that cause people to have trouble with this.
Mm.
At the end of the day, this is one of the situations where I'm sure you have thoughts considering the example we're going to give is about sales. So mm-hmm. I'm dying to hear how you think about it. I think there's just a couple principles for me, those two. And then the last one is really if you're in the customer's shoes, how would you think about it? And what would you want to hear? What would be the best message for you?
Beautiful. I love it. I especially love the one that fear might cause you to...
Right.
Deal with the situation in a way that creates more problems than it solves, right?
Right.
And I think that it amplifies something, makes it seem like a much bigger deal. Okay, stepping back, I think the way you communicate matters a lot more than what you communicate, right? So if you say, this is terrible, but you say it in a comfortable way, confident way, with a smile, in a calm demeanor, and you're like, hey, it's terrible that this person is leaving. Here's what we're doing next. People are going to stay calm about things. If you say, this is not a problem at all, and no, nobody needs to panic, but you're in a panic, people are going to panic, right? So the way you feel about the situation is going to, influence both internally your team and externally your customers and anybody else that interact with it. So it's important for you to have some level of perspective and calm and realize that no matter what the situation is, it's not that big of a deal. Be fair, be honest, and just move on with life. This is not a once in a... you're not the first or last company that's ever had somebody leave. Right? It happens all the time. So companies know how to deal with this. Customers know how to deal with this. Just deal with it well. With the specific example on the sales side, there's some nuances and differences if the parting of ways was amicable or not, right? There might be some differences there. But I would definitely say no matter what it is, if it's a great transition and if it was amicable and both sides feel really good about it, it's worth highlighting that. If it was a really terrible parting of ways, I don't think it's worth highlighting that. And I want to double click on what you said earlier, which is sometimes people think, wow, this person is leaving. They might trash talk us, so we have to trash talk that person as well. Right? Or this person is leaving. How do I explain this to customers? The best way to do it is to tell customers how terrible this person was. So it's actually good they're leaving. That's never a good idea, right? If you talk badly about your prior employees, I will assume a number of things. Number one, you're not trustworthy and you might talk bad about me with other people. Number two, you're terrible at hiring. Who tells me that this new sales rep you're putting me in touch with, or this new account manager, whoever else it is not as terrible or worse since you're obviously bad at hiring people, right? It's just going to instantly lower my impression of you as a person and you as a company. So never ever, no matter how terrible this employee was, no matter if they fraud you or not, if they did unspeakable things, I would not air that dirty laundry outside. I would just say, hey, we had to part ways. Here's what's happening next for you. you know, and I would just move on and talk about the future instead of like explaining everything in detail to customers. A, most of the time they don't care. And B, it's not really helpful to the most important question to them, which is like, what happens next? One more thing I'll say about this is that one of the things that the companies do wrong, so I want to highlight that point right now, especially when it comes to sales or customer facing kind of people, when it comes to like handing off a existing relationship with a prospect or a customer to a new team member because an old team member is leaving, is companies don't think about selling the new team member properly enough, right? So they just go, hey, Heaton, Stelly's not with us anymore. Let me introduce you to your new sales rep, Bob, right? That's it. That's usually how these intros go, or these handoffs. Or even worse, it's not even an introduction from somebody you know, right? But it's like, hey, Heaton, this is Bob. I know that you used to talk to Stelly, but he's not with us. I'm your new rep. Let me know if I can help. Cheers. That to me is a very poor handoff, right? A, it makes me go, well, what the hell happened to Stelly? And who is this Bob guy? And how should I trust him or, you know, her, whoever the rep is? And, you know, like it's a very kind of harsh transition. I would usually have some kind of a model where somebody that knows the customer makes the intro. And if there's nobody that knows the customer, I would have the founder or CEO make the intro, right? Even if it's at scale, you can template this stuff and do it in bulk. But it would have somebody that knows the customer or is kind of very high up the ladder authority-wise in the company say, hey, I wanted to personally reach out. Stelly's not longer with us. You know, we know that you're a really important customer because of XYZ or a really important, you know, prospect. We know that you need, you know, still a lot of help from us. So we want to make sure you're in the best hands possible. Let me introduce you to Bob. And now I'm going to sell Bob. Bob has been with the company for 10 years. He's the most senior guy we have. He's incredible in XYZ and he loves golfing just like you. I think you and Bob are going to get along really, really well. Looking forward to the intro. And let me know. I'm always happy to get in touch if you need any help. And then Bob responds to that email, introduces himself again, and tries to set up a call to make this transition smooth. That's the way that I would go about things, and most companies don't.
That's so important. You know, it's like, and this is what I mean when I say, like, people are poor at this, right? Like, yeah. They make it all about them when it's like, just think about the customer.
Yep.
The customer wants to know they're in good hands, and they want to know that you care.
Yep.
Right? They always do. But like in this case, they've been used to talking to one single person usually, right?
Yeah.
And they want to feel great about continuing their relationship with you. And the best way to do that would be, as you mentioned, like make it a personal intro of some, to some extent, and then have the person go in and introduce themselves. I love the tidbit about, you know, Bob likes golf, right? Just like you. And anything you can do to help the people understand that you care about them. And I think one of the ways to do it is exactly as you said, probably the key way. And it's also like I mentioned, I was helping someone with this yesterday, and that's exactly that's exactly what I was doing, which is like when you intro the new person, make sure that you let people know why this person is working with them. And there's always a why, right?
Yeah. So, I think that, again, it comes back to the how you're communicating is as important as what you're communicating, maybe more important sometimes. Like, think about the customer again. Like, I'm sending an email to Stelly that I've been speaking to for 3 months now about purchasing this product. And then I get an autoresponder email back that goes, Stelly is not working with this company anymore. For any inquiries about sales, email sales@close.io or something like that. Like, think about how that makes a prospect feel. Like, what the hell is going on at that company? Stelly's not there anymore. Why didn't I hear about that? Should I try to get in touch with Stelly? But I don't have his email. Should I just ping him on LinkedIn? Who am I going to get a response from if I send a generic email to some generic contact at? Like, it's just such a terrible experience. And it makes me feel like there's some kind of a panic going on or revolving door. This company's churning so many employees, it can't even handle this. So it just has this kind of autoresponder policy in place. It just leaves a very bad taste. And it leaves the prospect or the customer with a ton of questions and no clear guidance on what to do next, right? And how to feel about things. So you never want to have that. I want to just touch on one thing before we wrap this episode up, which is the internal part, right? I think the same kind of principles apply internally. How do you break the news to the team? How do you communicate to the team what happened and what is going to happen next? It always starts with two big questions people will have. The first question is, holy shit, does this mean we're in trouble? Does this mean that there's something wrong with the company? Like, people have always a knee-jerk reaction that's like, is this bad news that I should be worried about if somebody's leaving or, you know, being fired? So you need to address that. And then the next question people have is like, all right, how do we move forward? What does this mean now? Who's replacing this person? Who's doing this person's work? What are we learning from the mistakes we made, if we made any mistakes? So people are wondering, okay, you know, once the question is answered to, is this a bigger bad news than just this person leaving? Should I be concerned about my own job or about the company? Once you address that question, then people switch to the next question, which is, what does this, like, how do we move forward, right? Who's going to do the job? What do we learn from this? How do we progress? So you have to answer these two basic questions really, really well. And you probably have to do a little bit of like follow-up work. And no matter how well you communicate this in a team meeting or in a team email or whatever you do, and no matter if you have an open floor policy and go, any questions, does anybody have any concerns, share that. People will always need a little bit of time to compute that information and deal with it. So it's probably a good idea, especially for like higher ranking or more important or more